The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Let's give these guys another hand, huh? So I'm biased a little bit, but don't we have the greatest praise team in all of America? Right? Don't we have the greatest media team in all of America? Don't we have the greatest church in all of America? Like I said, I'm a little biased. I see some friends over here. They're going, well, our church is pretty good too. Church, why? Let me say this a minute why I say that. Because church in America is where Jesus is at, y'all. And that means that we have the greatest church on the planet because Jesus is King, right? Amen. Okay, so if April showers bring May flowers, what do May flowers bring? Pilgrims. Okay. Jim, this one's for you. What do you call a bee who can't make decisions? A maybe. Okay, let's pray. Let's get into God. Father, thank you for this day. God, you are good. Today is the day that the Lord has. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Why? Because we have breath in our lungs. You are here, and pray that this word speaks to the hearts of your people today. God, you are to be honored, and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about today. Heard the phrase, into the fray. Anybody ever heard that phrase? Today, the title of my message is Into the Fray, a weapons check. And I'm going to check my mic over here. I'm not left-handed. I do apologize. I'll get it. How's that, Caleb? That better? Yeah. Sorry for the camera, too. You're going to have to follow me because I'm going to run. Into the fray. It's a weapons check. Okay, so I'm a little bit of a nerd, and I pay too much attention, and I read a lot of stuff, but into the fray, really what that means is if you have ever seen or been in combat, any Marines in the room, Special Forces people, anything like that, into the fray, literally, that's what they say before they go down range. And so as they're on the airplane, as they're getting ready to do a halo jump, or they're getting ready to jump out of a Bradley armored vehicle, they say weapons check, and literally check each other's weapons. They make sure that they've got rounds chambered in their rifles, and they're ready to rock and roll. Why I say that is today we're going to talk a little bit about the, am I still good? Yep, okay. We're going to talk about the armor of God, but we're going to talk about it in maybe hopefully a little different way than what we've seen. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 10 through 20. I'm in the New King James. All right. Finally, my brethren, that's us. The Church of America, okay? Paul is talking to us. Be strong in the Lord. Okay, I'm going to pause right there. Be strong in my own strength. No, it's be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. We're going to talk about a piece of it in a minute, but we're going to say put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the dark age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, what is it therefore? Because we're in battle. We're in battle, okay? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded, that's an action. Girded means to put on, tie up, okay? In the old days, they would actually tie up their robe. They actually had, and they tuck it into their belt of truth, which we're going to talk about. They girded themselves for battle, okay? So they say, stand therefore, girding your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation and the peace of the gospel of peace, excuse me. How many people came in shoes? Everybody raise your hand. Okay? How many people in here came in heels? My wife came in heels. Okay? How many people, this is more probably for the ladies, came in sandals? A couple of us in sandals? Okay. How many people came in here in combat boots? I know my gatekeepers did. Why? Because they're ready for action. You can't go anywhere without your shoes of peace. Has anybody ever tried to walk across the gravel? Okay, parents, have you been awake in the middle of the night and you got up and you're like, I need a glass of water? I know at Chewy's house they have Legos. And you're walking through and you don't have your shoes on, and then you might say something in the middle of the night because your feet hurt. You step on one of those fun little Legos, right? You have your shoes on, you don't feel the Legos. You don't feel the ground underneath you, but the peace of that is the important thing. Excuse me. All right. Now, verse 16, it says this: above all, taking the shield of faith with you, that you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that every utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right, spiritual battle, spiritual tools, spiritual weapons. We're going to dress a soldier here pretty quick, and I'm going to explain a few things. So, Beto, if you want to go ahead and start coming up. But it says that we're in a battle of spirit. We're not warring against flesh and blood. We're not in a boxing match against another human being. We're in a boxing match against the devil, which means our weapons have to be spiritual weapons. But what is the truth of the battle? What is the truth? Really, it's truth over lie, correct? It's truth over lie. You got it? The truth is Jesus Christ. The devil is the lie. Back in Genesis chapter 3, the devil did something. He took the word of God and he added something to it. He said, surely you will not die. In every lie, there's an element of truth, right? So this spiritual battle that we're in really is truth versus lie. Truth versus lie. And the enemy is a really good, good liar. I mean, a really good liar. So much so that he got God's creation, Eve, to believe that she wasn't going to die. Right? Says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. It tells us to talk about our belt of truth. And so we're going to describe. So my visual aid here, isn't he pretty? Come over here. Let's look at him. We're the same. Watch this. Watch this. Ready? Ready? Put your head down.
See?
I love it. We can go like this, and we can't mess up our hair. How long did it take you to do your hair this morning? Yeah, I couldn't get mine to dry. All right, so we're going to talk about the belt of truth really quick. So he's going to come over here. I'm going to kind of point to these things. The belt of truth. Why is the belt of truth so important, and why do we have that? Well, it holds our gear. So if I turn him to the side, he's got gear. He's got communications devices on his belt. You turn him this other way, he's got more weapons. He's prepared for battle. He's prepared for battle. But the belt of truth is out of our mouth. That spiritual thing, when we speak truth into a situation, we win. We win. Truth is the word of God. In John chapter 1, it says that the word became living. Jesus calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? All right, so we're going to put on, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. So in the old days, it was a metal thing that came on there. We have a new soldier today. The enemy tells the same lies, but our weapons have to get more sophisticated. My police officer, Beto, is putting on gear. Inside here, there's a plate. It protects his heart, his lungs, his liver, and hey, guess what? It's on both sides. It's protecting him all around. Our heart is a very important thing, right? If he wasn't wearing this, if I'm not wearing my bulletproof vest, heart is exposed. Where is the enemy going to hit you? In the heart. If we're in a physical battle, the military, they're taught to double tap your chest, which means they're aiming for center mass, your heart and lungs. That's how the military is trained. Why? Because your heart pumps your blood. Your physical heart pumps your blood. So if a physical heart is pumping our blood and we know that we need to protect it in battle, what about our spiritual heart? We got to protect our spiritual heart in battle. So just as our physical heart pumps, I apologize, my mouth feels a little dry. Would you give me some water? Our physical heart pumps our blood for our body. Our spiritual heart pumps the power of God through us. Our spiritual heart pumps the power of God through us. Think about that. Through your fingertips, through your mind, thank you, through your feet. Your spiritual body is equally as important as your physical body. A couple other things about the breastplate. He's got gear on here. He's got a tourniquet to help his buddy. He's got communications devices so he can be hearing. He's got all kinds of spare weapons. He's got cuffs to subdue the enemy. What else we got on here? Mags. We got magazines, more bullets to protect us. He's got gear and flashlights and all kinds of stuff. Your breastplate isn't just for you. Maybe my gun runs dry. He can hand me a magazine and say, here, keep fighting. Because he has more. Right? All right, we'll get back to that in a second. All right, we talked about faith, the shield of faith. So the shield of faith, I love how Pastor Jim always describes this one. The shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. Or flaming missiles. Those are bombs coming in. One of the coolest things that you can ever see on planet Earth, describe this to you, is I got to watch an A-10. I was 17 years old, and I was working at the military base down in Alamogordo. And they're like, hey, you want to see something cool? I'm like, always. I'm a boy, and so if it blows up, it's cool. And they're like, hey, we're going to go watch this airplane. We got a new missile. We're going to test this thing out. I'm like, yes. Do I get to be part of the demonstration, you know, because I want to pull the trigger because I'm a 17-year-old boy. Well, this A-10 Warthog, it is probably the fiercest fighting machine. The Marines love this because they call it the brrr gun, okay? So they're like, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to go mark out a football field. So it's 100 yards wide, or 100 yards long, 50 yards wide. And they're determining the ballistics of this particular whatever. And so they're like, all right, so we get your binoculars, and I don't know how many yards away we're standing, but we're watching this thing. And they say, okay, here he comes in, and you can either put headphones on. You can hear the pilot communicating with the tower. And he comes in, and he says, okay, cleared hot. And you see this A-10 come out of a bank, and he comes at an angle like that at the ground, and then literally unleashes fire on the earth. All you see is missiles and bullets and dirt flying. I'm telling you, it was the coolest thing a 17-year-old boy could imagine. Flaming missiles. It destroyed that football field. There wasn't a piece of ground unturned. Okay? That are the flaming missiles that the enemy is throwing at you. So, we got our shield. We got our breastplate on. That shield defends those fiery darts. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. Back in the old days, Cowboys versus Indians, right? The Indians lit their arrows on fire and actually fired them into the wagon of the pioneers, of those pilgrims from my joke a minute ago. Why? Well, they could see. If you're undercover, it's hard to see you. Beto, if you go into a house, you go in undercover, right? Why? Because it's safer. If you have cover and shields around you, it's a lot safer. If the enemy can get your shield down, it's easier for him to take you out. He wants you to lay your shield on the ground. He wants you to have your cover burned to the ground, okay? So we pick up that shield to quench those fiery, flaming missiles. All right, helmet. Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. You are an overcomer. So here's Beto's helmet. Why does he put this on? Protects his brain, right? It allows him to make thoughts work. Because again, those missiles are coming in, comes down. And if it hits you in the head, I'm not wearing my helmet. And shrapnel hits my head, I'm no longer effective, right? It might not even be a round, it might not be a sword, but just a little piece hits me in the head. I'm no longer cognitively able to make a decision. I can't have my shoes of peace on while I'm making those decisions. So we put on our helmet of salvation. What does that do? Is it protects our mind. The Bible says this, that you have the mind of Christ. Think about that for just a second. And I have to back up because I forgot to tell you one other thing about the breastplate of righteousness, because I'm not done with that one, but I want to insert this here. The Bible calls you the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That's who you are. Let's back up one more. We are in a world filled with lies. What does the devil tell you? You're not the righteousness of God. You're not the righteousness of God. Is that true? No, that's not true. God says, I am his righteousness. There's a song that we sing every now and again that says who we are. God called you his favorite kid. So we have on our helmet of salvation. We have the mind of Christ. So how does that work? How do we use our helmet of salvation? It just kind of sits up there. Like, it doesn't look like it's doing a lot, right? But what is it actually doing is it's protected my thoughts. Okay, so in the book of Romans, it talks about taking every thought captive. So through salvation, we take every thought captive. And we ask ourselves, here's a very practical way to put this in. Is that true? Is that what Jesus says to me? Is that what the Bible says about me? Okay, I'm going to use this as an example. Am I dumb? How many times have we ever said that? Man, that was dumb. Or, man, I am dumb. And it might be something as simple as I forgot to latch the door. How many of you have said this? Man, I'm an idiot. Uh-oh. Okay. Is that true? So if I was to define idiocy for you, you would go, well, that's not me. If I was to define that for you, I won't. But you go, no, that's not me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is one of my favorite scriptures because we take every thought captive. We're going to talk about the shoes of peace. Beto's wearing these fancy boots right here. Gene over here, he's got on some boots that he can move in. I bet Ryan, Ryan is out there. If I asked Tyler to hold his foot in the air, I bet he's got on some shoes he can run in. Why? They're prepared for action. Peace is an action. Well, peace sounds so nice, and we're at a time of peace. I disagree with that because peace is being in control of our emotions when chaos is unfolding around you. So in combat, if this man right here loses his shoes, he's got his sword, he's got his shield, he's got his helmet, he's got his breastplate, but if he's taking rounds and he can't move, or he doesn't have the ability to make a decision to get to cover or get to one of his people where he can be protected, he's stuck. Peace. Now I can make a decision. Oh, there's rounds coming in. Oh, I got to get over there because they're going to help me. I got to get to that piece of cover. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to move. Peace is in the battle. Peace is in the battle. How do you have peace in a battle? Well, that's a unique thing. There's chaos unfolding. So again, I'm going to nerd out a little bit here. In times of war, you have to make tactical decisions. So one of the things that I wanted to do when I was a young man, I wanted to be in the pararescue squad. So the Air Force's Special Forces. I actually put myself on a path to do that. I ended up not being able to do that. However, they start to teach you certain things. So the pararescues or the PJs, their mission is human rescue, okay? So they go into a situation with paramedic gear, but they go in with an M4, and they are to rescue people. So the Navy SEALs, they go in, and they do something that's a little bit different. The rescuers go in and rescue those that have been captured. I use that because the pararescuers, that's us. We are going into battle to rescue. Celebrate recovery. Rescued by rescued. Rescued, rescuing others by the rescued. Or I'm not exactly, I'm messing that up, guys, but it's close. Why? Because you have to have peace in a situation. So when those rescuers go in, they ask you some questions. So they might have to fight through enemy lines. They have to go through room by room, room by room, and they might have to fight through the enemy to get to their objective, the injured person, or the objective of their mission. And then they have to make tactical decisions while rounds are coming in and protecting each other while you rescue the injured person. So peace comes in by hearing the word of the commander. Beto is actually a lieutenant? Beto is a lieutenant. If his guys don't listen, and they're in a fight, bad stuff happens. Bad stuff happens. So as those words are coming in, that's the Holy Spirit talking. My feet are moving, and we're getting to the injured person, and we're picking him up, and we're putting him down, and we get him on the gurney, and we get him picked up. And the commander says, all right, we're going to move. And then three guys protect him as they move out of that building. I'm a nerd, I know, but that peace allows them in all chaos to accomplish their objective. We use the Holy Spirit. There's chaos unfolding around us, right? And it's small chaos. I'm going to tell you a story in a minute about small chaos. When it unfolds around us, we have the Holy Spirit to say, take a breath. Chaos is out there. I am peace. All right. So that's our shoes. Very important. Okay, so we talked about the shield. Beto, would you get your sword, please? This is a cleared weapon, just so everybody knows. Beto's going to get his sword out. All right, it's got a strap on there. He's going to put that thing on. So this is Beto's sword. Our sword is the spoken word of God. Without this, so we talked about all the gear. Could Beto fight effectively without this piece of armor? Not really. If I say, hey, Beto, there's 10 guys over there. They all have guns. Go get them. He's going to go, no. Rightfully so, right? Rightfully so. What if I give Beto this sword and I don't tell him to use it? What if he's never shot that? What if we've never drawn our sword out of the sheath? What if it stays in our pocket? What if it stays in our holster? What if it stays in our holster? It's ineffective, right? It's ineffective. But Beto trains, and he says, all right, I'm ready to go. So then I say, all right, Beto, I want you to go over there, and I want you to go get those guys. He's going to go, I'm ready to roll. I know the ability of my sword, right? I know the ability of my sword. I know how to use it effectively. I know how to put it in action. Spiritual weaponry. The word of God is effective. It is an effective two-edged sword. I believe that's an axe. I'm going to wield an effective, sharp, two-edged sword that cuts to bone and marrow. All right. What is the word of God? We have scripture confessions. We confess the word of God in praise. We confess the word of God over your life. Okay, but now let's go home. Maybe it's apologizing to your wife. Maybe it's, Lord, I need help with my math homework. Maybe it's, hey, Lord, I don't understand what's going on over here. Here's one that I say all the time. Lord, bless my tires. Well, that's not in the Bible, right? But I'm God's favorite. So therefore, my tires are God's favorite tires. You laugh, and it's funny, but it's true. I work with the V7, and one of my favorite things that the V7 does before we work, we work with cows, and who knows anything about cows? They're not necessarily the most intelligent things on the planet. They're very, very smart. They are very, very tasty, but wisdom, God did not grant them. But before we start work, every day, we speak life and wisdom to the cows, to our horses, to the people, to the machines. Why? Because it's effective. It's effective. Something that doesn't have wisdom can be at peace with God and have wisdom. Understand? All right. So we have wisdom. We have the mind of Christ. Again, we got our helmet of salvation on. We have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we are at peace with God. Wow. All right. So to use sword effectively, we've got to be able to make sure that it is in our hand, that it's loaded. This one is presently not, okay? It is not. But if your sword's not loaded, it doesn't do us a lot of good. Right? The Word of God. I don't care if you're a first time in church today. Come tell me. I will give you two scriptures. That's all you can say all the time. The Word of God is this. Say this over your life right now. I am God's favorite. That's it. That's the Word of God. You don't have to be a Bible scholar, thank you, to be able to speak the Word of God. I am God's favorite is the Word of God. I am blessed and highly favored and seated in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. That is the Word of God. It's simple. Let's not overcomplicate it. You don't have to be able to quote Psalms 41, verse 3. I can't. But Google can if you need to know what it is. I don't even know what that one is. But the Word of God is in your mouth. I am God's favorite. There is life in this situation. Period. End of story. All right? All right. So we're going to talk about close quarters battle. All this gear is actually close quarters battle, including rifle. All right? Why is that important? All right, so I'm going to say this. Never fight alone. Never fight alone. Before we get to CQB, I want to talk a little bit about something, because we do fight alone sometimes. What about in your safe space? So Beto, he's done at his office. He's going to go home. He's going to take all of his gear off. Home is a safe spot, right? From the battle, yes. From the battle, yes. But in the spiritual battle, the home is probably the place where the enemy wants you the most. What do I mean by that? Well, you feel it's your safe space. You get home from work, and I see Chewy here, so I'm going to use him. He's been turning wrenches all day. Maybe that wrench slipped off of that nicely old, unrounded bolt, right, Chewy? And we've never hit our knuckles on the crankshaft when we're trying to take that thing out of there, right? We've never had bloody knuckles, and we've never had to go across the shop to get a wrench because we threw it and said words all the way over there, right? We've never done that. So we get home, we're like, you know what? I'm done turning wrenches for the day. I'm going to go put a little bit of ice on my hand. I'm going to go sit down. I'm going to have myself a nice cold iced tea, and I'm going to watch a television program for 10 minutes to decompress because my hand hurts. And then you got to throw the trash. All right. So Chewy's already, he's going to preach. Chewy's coming to preach. But But your wife's been dealing with the kids all day, right? But you're in your safe space, so you set down your shield. You're like, oh, that's heavy. I'm going to set this down for just a second. I got to take my helmet off just for a second because my hand hurts. I'm tired, and I'm going to just decompress for a second. And then the question comes in. Hey, can you haul the trash? The first time, it's sweet, and she's so wonderful. And she says, babe, you are beautiful. Will you please take out the trash, my mighty man? And you say, this, yeah, in a second. Men say, yeah, the in a second is in our head. We thought you should hear that. The next one, maybe not as sweet, maybe it's just, babe, take out the trash. Yeah, in a second. A little bit more forceful, right? Crystal, you're never forceful. This is the sweetest person on the planet. My wife is never forceful. She's never said to me, take out the trash. And I say, well, what are you grouchy about? Well, I asked you 3 times and the trash is here. You never... Uh-oh. So now we've both taken off our helmets. We've both put down our shields. And now because of a small thing like taking out the trash, I have never. And then the fight is on.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/LighthouseRaton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.LighthouseRaton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. To shore.